Welcome back, Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Dave Benton in studio with Scott Eckersley, co-hosting today and running the board, doing a fantastic job of multitasking. We'll be back to Jack Ebling around 1020, but first, we have Dr. John Braccio from Regional Psychological Services and drjohnb.com. John, how you doing?
Well, Big Dave, I'm here in Iowa City, and I couldn't be in a better mood getting ready for the football game and, hey, having a great time.
Let's get right into it. I look at this game, and for me, psychologically, I think it's an advantage for Michigan State that they have Minnesota next week because they're not looking to anything except this game this week. Do you agree?
I think that's true. I think that actually is true. I think that this game is so big, they might have been able to put it out. But I do feel that is a factor that's going to be helpful. I think that's right, Dave.
What about for Iowa coming off that Wisconsin loss? How did they get back into the right mindset to have to come back here and then play another top 10 team right off the bat?
Well, first of all, they're home. Okay, they're right here. They're trying to make amends for that. But I still believe when you lose a game like that, and they've lost two of them, you know, the same kind of a game, I think it does make you more vulnerable to losing than if you win those games. So I think they're going to come in. They're big, tough. They're rough. They're ready to play, and they're going to try to be up as best they can. I think the main thing is how we handle it. I don't think this is the kind of team you can really get very far behind and expect that you're going to come back and win like we've done the last 2 weeks.
That's a very interesting comment, because one of the thoughts I have about this game is Michigan State's going to get punched in the mouth right off the bat. I mean, you're at Kinnick Stadium. There's no way you can avoid an emotional upbringing from Iowa. And the question is how they handle that. If they go down 14-17 nothing to Iowa in Iowa, in my opinion, it's over. Do you agree?
I would agree. I mean, you know, you can always say it ain't over till it's over, but I think that would be a mountain maybe.
I mean, as resilient as Michigan State has been this year in second halves, I think Iowa in Iowa is a way different animal than somebody like Northwestern.
Well, I would certainly agree with that. I mean, they certainly are at least equal in talent. And if they were to get ahead here in this area, and I've been to Kinnick Stadium before, it's a wild crowd. It'll be jammed. It'll be in it. So I think the key is just the reverse. We have to get up or play this game very close in order to win. But I have a good feeling about this game, even though I think certainly if we go by, quote, experts, they seem to think MSU is going to lose this game. So we'll see if my good feelings and idea that this team somehow finds the ability to win in a year that could be unique for the next 30, 40 years. This game is really a huge game, in my opinion, for the whole future of MSU. When you look at the schedule the next few years, you're just not going to have an opportunity like this. This is a great opportunity knocking at the door.
Totally agree, especially because they've added Boise State to the list the next couple of years. They've got Ohio State back on their schedule the next couple of years, so that makes this season that much bigger. I want you to do me a favor and kind of play psychologist here and pick the brain of Ricky Stanzi. How does Michigan State find a way to get Ricky Stanzi to turn back into the Ricky Stanzi of old, so he'll throw some picks?
Well, I think we have to put pressure on him. If he has to be throwing long, then that's going to, I think, can be more apt to throwing interceptions. But with him, if you put pressure on him, now you might say you do the same thing with Cousins, but if you put pressure on this guy, make him move around and throw, then I think that is the way to kind of ring his bell a bit. That if he is there having all the time he needs, then I think we could be in a lot of trouble. I mean, then it could be a high-scoring game if we can score the other way.
I've always wanted to ask the psychologist this. The pink locker room, is there really an effect there, or is that all rubbish?
Well, you know, you could always say it's rubbish. But the idea of
sorry to go with the soccer term there. Sometimes I forget I'm an American sports talk show. Sorry about that.
Well, no, I think I'm assuming it, if anything, it maybe gets people. But it is psychologically, it is fascinating. In fact, actually, that's a good question to ask some of the players that have, you know, gone there. A coach could probably try to turn it against them too. I guess if it totally depend. If you come in, you're ready to play, you're going to play. I'm assuming that the color in the locker room, the pink locker room, is not going to be, you know, critical. If you come in thinking you're going to lose into that type of environment, it might have an effect. But I would tend to say it's more that the Iowa coaches and players like to think of the other team over in pink, and maybe they try to use it themselves for some psychological edge. So I would like to think and do believe it probably doesn't make a huge difference.
We're talking with Dr. John Baracho, Regional Psychological Services, and drjohnb.com. Dr. B, it's Scott here. You're talking about this game being huge for the next few decades, really, for Michigan State. How does that affect the players?
Well, I think if they can capture the moment here, that they have an opportunity with maybe not a great team, but a scrappy team that has found ways to win, that they could actually play for the national championship. And as a minimum, go to the Rose Bowl. And that is a golden moment for these kids. And it's a question of winning a winnable game. Doesn't mean we'll win this game, but it's winnable. And probably who has the biggest heart, makes the least mistakes, and can get to the quarterback the most, is going to win this game. I would tend to think we're probably a little stronger on offense and they're a little stronger on defense. So it's probably going to maybe get down to the kicking game or who has the biggest heart. But I think at this point, Iowa has huge reasons to win, tremendous. But I do believe Michigan State has a bigger reason to win. This is one of those giant-type opportunities to go 9-0 and potentially be on the road to a national championship. And if you look at the schedule of the next years, you look at the championship game in the Big Ten coming up, you look at Big Red coming in, this is a unique opportunity that may even come, as my son John has told me, once in a lifetime, if that.
Now, Dr. B, I made the argument earlier that even with a loss here, Michigan State is still on pace to have a great season, better than what most people expected. How much would a loss today hurt the team?
Well, I think a loss is never a positive thing. I think this team is going to have a very successful year regardless. You know, if you look at it, losing a game or two is, you can have a spectacular season. There's nothing wrong with losing a game or two, but you don't want to. But if they lost a game, I think they'd be fine. I think if they even lost this game today, there's still an outside chance that a few other teams lose that we would go to the Rose Bowl. So, it's going to be a great year one way or the other, and it's certainly been one of the most exciting. And there are more Michigan State people floating around. We came in on a plane here, you know, with the team coming down here, and there's a rabid bunch. We're in a hotel here people green and white running all over the place. Even the team physicians, everybody is out and about. Jim Miller out and about. Everybody is just having fun. Everybody is a Spartan. I think people are really ready for this game. I'm here with my buddy Dr. John Faust and some buddies, and we're having a great time. Just, this is a great day, and if the energy is there, the will and tremendous indefatigable energy and that coaching, keeping the emotional level right at the right level, a steady hand at the till to turn, if you will, then I think we're going to be ready to go. I'm actually probably as wild as I have been. How does that sound for a psychologist for a football game?
I mean, that sounds pretty awesome to me. That's very exciting. John, one last question that I have for you, and more just a statement, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Chris L. Rucker, I'm kind of under the impression I don't think he should have been reinstated. I think you've got to teach a lesson to a young person who has made two straight mistakes and now is being taught that it's okay for him to make those mistakes. Your thoughts on the whole situation and how you would have handled it?
Well, there's a couple things here. The trouble I have is I wasn't there, okay? And I think the most obvious conclusion is the one you have, and it may ultimately be, you know, the correct one. I happened to hear D'Antonio speak yesterday, and here is what he said, okay? Let me just put it in his words. He made the comment that when you have situations, you need to have rules, you need to have standards. And he said, this is a case of a kid who has worked very hard, has given a lot, and it isn't like he's just a kid who was there for a week or a month or a year. He's been here for years. He has been a hard worker. He has been just an exceptional guy. Players feel that way. Coaches feel that way. And he felt that this was the right thing to do. He said, if you knew the facts the way I do, that's what I did. He said he knew he was going to take hits. In fact, Hollis indicated, I guess he had a pretty tough interview with Mitchum, or Mitch Albom, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. And I was going to say the deodorant? So, weird.
I don't know. So the easiest thing to do would have been to keep him off the team, even though you could say he's such a good player. But at this point, I'm willing to, remember, I'm a psychologist, so I'm going to be somebody who's going to be looking, if this is that unique of a set of circumstances, and he is that good of a guy, and he's been for years committed, working, and doing his best, he's really cared for by the players and the coaches, then that would be a reason to give him an opportunity, assuming all that is true. On the other hand, I think as a general rule, you're right. Something like when someone does something like this and then they go out and do it again, both really absolutely ridiculous things to do, then you ought to be off the team and it ought to be an example. So this is something, as I think as we get more information, we'll feel a little better. But Antonio comes across as a very sincere kind of a fellow and doesn't come across as a guy that...
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
To just make a decision to win a game. But I think just on the straight facts, you're absolutely right.
And I'm not saying they should martyr Chrisell Rucker. I think that you teach a kid a lesson. You let him stay in school, get his degree and all that, but I think you got to kick him off the team. All right. Well, John, we appreciate your time. Good to get that side of the story from a psychologist, and enjoy the game in Iowa.
Listen, you guys are great, and Jack and Tom may watch out. You might push them right off. How does that sound?
I mean, you know, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that. We love Jack and Tom. We love them.
You do. Listen, have a great day. Go green.
Hey, enjoy. All right, enjoy the game. That was Dr. John Baraccio, Regional Psychological Services, and drjohnb.com. We're going to talk more about Chrisell Rucker when we come back. Jack Ebeling will be back here. I'm going to get Scott's take and Jack's take on the Chrisell Rucker situation. It's Dave Benton, Scott Eckersley, Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.